Today on Real Radio.
Someone who rejects God and the witness of God and denies resurrection and the power of God, where does it come from? They are believing the lie. What is the lie? What could that possibly be? The lie. The Bible answers that.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his verse-by-verse look at Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. We've been spending some time in chapter 15. Now, this is where Paul explains and defends the resurrection. Some to eternal life, some to eternal damnation. In verses 35 through 39, he explains the kinds of bodies we'll have on that day. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a lesson called What Are You Wearing?
We are so gripped by this temporal view of life and we fear death. Let me tell you something. If you're a Christian, as you guys all know, the Bible says to be absent from the body, that means you die. It's to be present with the Lord. What could be better than that? Paul says, I've got an issue in my life. You guys need me to stay and teach the Bible, he says to them, but I would rather and far better be out of here and with the Lord. Paul said, I'll stick around for your sakes that you might learn more Bible, but I want to go home. Think of that. How can he be so bold? Because he knows what he's talking about. How can he know what he's talking about? Because there's a scriptural biblical witness and there's a natural witness. And we've often said in this pulpit that the God of nature is the God of salvation, the God of the Bible. And that display of nature and the Bible will never contradict each other. The author's the same. But you got to use your knowledge wisely. And Paul brings forth an argument that is simply, and I mean that simply, brilliant. It is awesome. Because he's introducing to the thinking of those skeptics, death is a liberator to the Christian. Death. Listen, the Bible tells us in John's Gospel, chapter 12, verse 24. Listen to this. And listen, before I read it, John 12, 24, Jesus, what occupation was Jesus? Carpenter. How did he know? This verse I'm going to read you, how did he know this? You say, well, he's God. I know. I'm just setting you up. But John 12, 24, most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and it dies, it remains alone or all by itself. But if it dies, it produces much grain. Mark this down, would you? This is amazing. You see this? Look what I got right here. What is that? Corn. By the way, the way our crops are going in the Midwest right now, I'm going to hang on to this. Could get pretty rare here come this fall. Can you see the kernels right here? If I take one of these right here, I have no idea. Maybe some of you botanists, maybe you know. I don't know how many corn kernels are on an ear of corn, and I don't know how many ears of corn are on a stalk of corn. But I know where it came from. It came from one of these little guys right here. Inside here is locked information that is genius. Did you know that? And let me tell you a little bit about it. If you were to take this out and let it dry in the sun, and leave it, you can leave it out. You can leave it out for 500 years. Isn't it weird? And take it and put it in the ground. When you put it in the ground, it dies. See what? When you put it in the ground, the chemicals from the earth cause it to die. At the moment of its death, it shoots out a microscopic little root. And it begins to grow. In its death, it's buried. It begins to grow. Every day. Do you know this? God is so amazing. In my hand right here, I have the power right here to feed the entire world forever. Mathematically, did you know that? There should be no starvation in the globe. One kernel of corn can produce an entire stalk, which produces ears of corn, and I don't know how many kernels are on each ear, and if you plant those, my friends, you cover the earth in corn, there should be no starvation. The only reason why there's starvation, by the way, if you look around the world, is because of political reasons. Go figure that one out. It's not the environment. God has done his part. Man's doing everything possible to mess it up. One kernel falls into the ground and dies and brings forth this. And that's exactly what Jesus said. Unless you die, you live or you exist by yourself. But the moment, think about this, the moment you're put into the ground, this happens. Now you say, you just went from corn to us. Well, I spiritualized it this way in the sense that when a believer dies and the gospel's preached at their funeral, I've seen non-believers get saved and fruit is produced from that dead person's life. Actually, their body's the only thing that's dead, isn't it? Think about that for a moment. I think that's very encouraging. But he's talking, Paul is saying, listen, you guys, you're a skeptic. Aren't you hoping for a harvest? Aren't you hoping this summer or fall for some corn? And everybody would say, even a godless person would say, yeah, man, I'm looking forward to a harvest. Every time you and I pluck an apple from the tree, a tomato from the plant, corn from the stock, we should be thinking God is showing us over and over and over again the power of his resurrection. The power, he's put it in nature. He's screaming at us that when the caterpillar goes up the side of your house and spins the chrysalis and then flies away, the caterpillar was reconstituted. Can you imagine flying away? I don't know what they think. I don't know. I have no idea. Can you imagine? This is awesome. Oh my goodness. No more earthbound. This is great. The corn is corn. If I plucked off a kernel and said, what is this? You'd say corn. If I held this stalk up, you'd say corn. And if I showed you Kansas covered in this, you would say, it's corn. But it's different every time you look at it, isn't it? And that's exactly what Paul is arguing about the resurrected life. Your body will be raised from the dead. There'll be a vacancy where you once were. But you'll be reconstituted by the power of God. Resurrection, not reincarnation. Resurrection, not resuscitation. Resurrection. And we need to remember that. And it's an awesome thing to think. Next, verse 37 is applying what you and I already know. He says, what you sow, what you put in the ground, you do not sow that body that shall be. We just heard how that changes. But mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. In the book of Acts, Paul was in Athens, Greece at this time of Acts 26. And he says, why should you think it incredible that God should raise the dead? Isn't that a great statement? Isn't that a great question? How big's your God? Can your God raise the dead? And I love that challenge. He's so bold because the evidence is overwhelming. God, in a sense, in nature, announces, I raise the dead every day. Isn't that fun? I raise the dead every day. It's a great, great, beautiful picture that he gives us. Applying what you already know. Listen, I'm going to move on from this, but it's just a simple challenge. Look around. If you're a skeptic, look around and ask yourself, is there reproduction taking place in the world in which I live in? How does it come about? How is it happening? What's the science to it? And you'll be applying what you already know, but we so often fly over the things that are so simple, but in reality, they explain so much. And Paul is saying, some of you at Corinth, you think you're so smart and you've never even figured this out, that God raises the dead and it's easy for him. That resurrection is coming to all those. Some to eternal life. Yes, the Bible says some to eternal destruction, but resurrection is coming. The third thing is this, is recognizing the design of God. Look at verse 38 to recognize God's amazing engineering. It says in verse 38, but God gives a body as he pleases. Circle the word pleases. The word implies engineering or engineered. God gives a body as he's engineered to each seed its own body. And this is a scientific fact. Everything reproduces after its own kind. Y'all know that. We know that. If you plant grape seed in the ground, you are not going to get an oak tree.
You say, that's so dumb. I can't believe that.
The Bible says everything produces after its own kind. And that is a scientific fact. So, watch what he says. It pleases God to engineer as he sees fit. And he has seen fit to be ordered, reasonable, and logical. I want you to think of this, God's design, recognizing it. The Bible says in Genesis 1, 27 and 28, that God made us after his own image, says the Bible. Verse 28 says in Genesis 1 that God blessed them. Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over it. The Bible, that word means use it to your joy. Use the earth to your joy. Should we take care of the planet? Yes. Should we worship it? No. According to the Bible, should we be fruitful and multiplying? Yes. That should be a theme for a marriage retreat. Be fruitful and multiply. Anyway, okay, I'm getting off the... Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Why? Because God takes care of the balance. Should we be wise? Yes. Use your brain. No one should be a better custodian of the earth's environment than a Christian. Why? Because our God made it. Psalm 14, verse 1, the Bible says, the fool has said in his heart, I love this statement. I'll tell you why in a second. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand. Note that. Are there any who recognize who God is? Who seek God? But when it says in verse 1 of Psalm 14, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. I've often told you, the heart has to say this if it's going to deny God. Listen, the heart is the seat of your emotions. Okay? The heart says there is no God. And if you're a skeptic today, you have a battle raging because your emotions say there's no God, but your brain says there's overwhelming evidence for God. When someone tells you, there's no God, there can't be a God, they might even say, I'll prove to you there's no God. First of all, know this, their argument is coming from sheer emotion, not from logic and reason, not from recognition. You cannot look around this world without seeing the engineering genius of God. Amen. And Paul is saying, look around. In the natural realm, resurrection is taking place all the time, if you'll just recognize it, if you just see it. If you apply the laws of nature, you can see that there's the handiwork of God. Romans chapter 1, verse 22 to 25 says, they, professing themselves to be wise, they've become fools and changed the glory. Listen, why are they fools? You say, why are they fools in the book of Romans? Because they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man. Listen, this is evolution in reverse. Man, birds, four-footed beast, and creeping things. Therefore, verse 24, God has given them up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts. This is what they want. To dishonor their own bodies among themselves. Here's the reason. Because they've exchanged the truth of God for the lie. Notice the definite article, the. Circle it. It's not a lie. It's not lies. They, someone who rejects God and the witness of God and denies resurrection and the power of God, where does it come from? They are believing the lie. What is the lie? What could that possibly be? The lie. The Bible answers that. They worship and serve the creature rather than the creator. Isn't that amazing? Don't we live in that time now? You want to see somebody get just absolutely upset? Go to Yosemite. You don't have to go that far. Go to Laguna Beach. And you'll see someone sitting there. It's really spectacular. And there's so peace, and so peace. Right? And then you say, excuse me. What are you doing? I'm becoming one with nature. Focus, navel. One. And then you say, really? Because I think God made all this stuff. And you'll see that guy go, what? And you'll see him lose all of his composure because you've introduced God. Because listen, they'll say, God is the trees. God is the bush. The evidence, engineering's overwhelming and it's awesome. Recognize who I am. And I'm the God of resurrection. And the evidence is all there. And we need to make a decision. What are we believing in? Point number two, are you dressed for eternity? Are you really dressed? Do you understand that you are wearing a suit right now and it looks like you? And when you take your clothes off this afternoon or whenever, when you go to bed, it's you. The clothes that you're wearing in this world does not change the fact that you have been suited for this world. Look at this, the glory of the world. He's inviting us to consider this, the glory of the world. Understanding where we're going. we're going into eternity. Look at us, look. We're sitting down right now, and I forget the math. I used to know this stuff. It's a bummer being over 50. But then I meet new people every day, so it's okay. It's something like, don't quote me, I'm confessing my ignorance, but you're sitting here right now, but do you realize that in about 24 hours, we will have moved about 1,000,000 miles down the track of in space, and we're not bumping into anything. We're all spinning, moving about. The whole thing is moving about. The other thing, the system's rotating around, and we're moving, and we're going. And by the time we come back to this point at this time tomorrow on a Monday, we will have moved 1,000,000 miles through out there. And God says, you think that's cool, don't you? Yeah, God, it's awesome. And he says, I hold that space in the span of my hand. You say, how can he do that? How big is his hand anyway? God is a spirit. He's not subject to the material universe. That means he gets to do anything he wants to. Amen. He says, I don't understand it. Too bad. He's going to do it anyway. The glory of the world. See, what are you talking about? Look at verse 39. All flesh, that's a lot, is not the same flesh. But there is one kind, notice kind, of flesh of men, humans. Another flesh of animals, that's different. Another fish, another birds, those are all different. They don't mix. God said that in Genesis, they don't mix. There's the glory of his creation. And it announces God's great genius. Paul introduces his argument. He's saying, look at zoology. It screams the order of God. Look at verse 40. There's the glory of creation. There are also celestial bodies. Now, some scholars say this means angelic, and some scholars just say that it means the entire universes that are out there. It doesn't really matter. It's something other than us. Who cares? And then there's the terrestrial bodies. That's us, things of this world. But the glory of the celestial is one type of glory, and the glory of the terrestrial is another type of glory. By the way, one is atmospheric in the sense that it is glorious to watch, constant and beautiful. We'll get more details in a moment. And the terrestrial glory is one that is one of servitude, one of survival, this world, us trying to make ends meet, so to speak. Nonetheless, of God. How so? Psalm 139, 14 says, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. God's engineering, God's creation. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My mind gets it. Does your mind get it? Do you understand that you need to be dressed for heaven? Because after this body dies, you're going to enter eternity. The Bible makes it very clear. Every human being will either go to heaven or hell based upon what they do with Jesus. Jesus is the issue. Jesus is the great fulcrum, as it were, of humanity, the great centerpiece. The third thing under this point is verse 41, the glory of the universe. The glory of the universe. He says this is, or that there's one glory of the sun, there's the glory of the moon, that's kind of funny to me, but anyway, another glory of the stars, for one star differs from another star in glory. Listen, the sun, what's it going to be today? I heard it's going to be 97 degrees today. How does that happen? The sun, in all of his glory, what is he doing? He's giving you a suntan today. Today's a great beach day. Today's a great day to be outside. Have you watching the news? I'm sorry. I'm just in a mood today. I'm in a mood. Because I turned on the news today, and you would have thought the world was coming to an end because it's going to be 102 at Dallas. Extreme heat warning. St. Louis is going to be 100 today. Did you know that? Oh, my goodness. What are we going to do? I don't know. Why don't we call it summer? And you know what? I'm gonna predict something. As we get into the fall, it's going to cool down a little bit. And then come winter, it won't be 100. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's absolutely crazy. Oh, my goodness, we have extreme heat taking place. It's called summer. And they just said Los Angeles just a couple days ago, it was so hot it tied a record in 1935. Do you understand? Do you get that kind of thinking? That's what you do in summer. You wear less clothes in summer. You get wet in summer. You go to the beach in summer because it's hot. It's amazing. I don't get it. I'm sorry. I'm in a mood. It's not even in my notes. I just had to. The sun is doing his job, man. And it's just funny to me. It says that the moon has his glory. The moon's a stinker. The moon steals his glory from the sun. He doesn't have any glory. He just reflects from the sun. The moon shines on us because he's getting it from the sun. By the way, as Christians, we should get it from the sun and shine it on other people. Okay? But there's a glory to the moon. We say, oh my, look at the beautiful moon. I love when the moon is so big that it casts shadows at night. Isn't that beautiful? You ever seen that? You ever up early or late like that? In the glory of the stars. Were any of you up early this morning? Here's your homework tomorrow, 4 a.m. Set your alarm. Get up. 4 o'clock, look in the eastern sky, right about there at about 27 degrees. Eastern sky, Regulus is out there, and he's just beaming. He's just shouting to the earth, hey, God rocks. He's awesome. And look at all the stars around. In fact, he says, I'm so bright, I suck up so much of dark space that you can't even see stars around me. I'm so bright. And then you look over here in the west and you see some faint stars just hanging in there. Each one varying in their glory. It's interesting. The book of Daniel says that those who lead others to Christ shall shine forth in eternity like the stars. Will we vary in glory? Listen, somebody said regarding this in heaven, well, all of our cups in heaven will be full. All of our cups. Some may have bigger cups than others, but their cups will be full. That's a beautiful way of looking at it. Are you faithful? Have you been faithful to what God's called you to do?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio. In a look at a section in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 where Paul continues his defense of the eventual resurrection, now some to eternal life and some to eternal damnation, and also what kinds of bodies we'll have. The title of this lesson is, What Are You Wearing? It's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at 1 Corinthians, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, in just a few days, Pastor Jack's going to be completing his journey through 1 Corinthians. Now, perhaps you'd like to hear it again. Or maybe you came in somewhere, maybe in the middle of the series here on Real Radio, and you'd like to hear it from the start. Well, we're going to make it real easy for you. We're now offering Pastor Jack's entire series through 1 Corinthians all on one flash drive. There are 67 messages in total. These are all MP3s, so they're good for your iPod, your smartphone, your computer. Now, here's our offer. All 67 MP3s of Pastor Jack's series through 1 Corinthians, all on one USB flash drive, for your gift of any amount to the ongoing radio outreach of Real Radio. Remember, that's 67 messages. Call, click, or write. Our telephone number is 1-877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. You can also pay us a visit at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. Now, if you prefer mail, send your gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And, of course, all of our contact info can be found right there at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.